Today we're going to be talking about the law of gestation. The law of gestation, it is the seventh in this series of laws. Let's just run through the laws that we've already talked about. The first one, who remembers? Perpetual transmutation. That's good. Who remembers what that means in a nutshell? Things are always changing. Everything's changing. The world is an ocean of motion. Nothing is stagnant. Nothing is stationary. And so we use our knowledge of this law to remember that whatever we're trying to achieve is either moving into form or out of form based on our thought processes. As we are believing in it, as we are striving for it, as we are continually headed in that direction, everything around us is working towards helping us make that happen. But it's when we have doubt, when we have disbelief, or we decide to just cast that away as that's not practical, then it starts to move out of form. And all of these things are happening without us seeing it, which is why it's easy to doubt. But once we understand that law, it's a lot easier to hang on to the idea of the goal until it comes true. The second law. Who remembers the second one? You guys have notes. You're cheating. Tara, what's number two?
Relativity.
Law of relativity. What's that one good for? Who remembers? Raise your hand. Right here.
It just is.
It just is. What do you mean by that? It just is. That sounds so profound. So a circumstance, a situation, whatever happens to you in your life, human nature is to assign that's good or that's bad. Well, this law teaches us that everything that happens just is, and it's only good or bad when we attach the meaning to it. And so in order to keep our thoughts more positive and more encouraging, then when something bad happens, we compare it to something that could be worse, and we find ourselves strive to have gratitude that it's not worse than it is. So find a way to be grateful for things as they are, because as we're grateful, that sets in motion things happening to bring more good to you. Third law, law of vibration. We're not going to go into all of these. The law of vibration is the law of attraction. That the vibration that you are in, the people, what kind of circumstances are going to be drawn into your life. And your vibration is controlled by what? By your thoughts and emotions. So you think in all kinds of things, but once you attach emotion to it, that's what determines your vibration. A vibration is, a feeling is nothing more than a conscious awareness of a particular vibration. So that's that one. Four, law of polarity, that everything, every bad situation has contained within it the seed of equal or greater benefit. That's a Napoleon Hill quote. Every adversity is how he says it. And so when something really bad happens, that means there's something really good in it, available for us to find. And most people, most by human nature, aren't looking for, this is a huge tragedy, what's the goodness in it? You know, we're looking for, oh my gosh, this is huge, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, and that's all we can see. But to know that there is contained within it a seed of equal or greater benefit, and we choose to start looking for that, that's when the law of perpetual transmutation starts things in motion to start gleaning the benefit from those circumstances. The polarity six, cause and effect. That was last week's. Every cause has an effect, every effect has a cause, and what you put out will come back to you. Not necessarily from where you put it. Just remember that.
Five?
Oh, did I skip rhythm?
Yeah.
Sorry. Five was rhythm. Five was the law of rhythm, meaning that we're going to have ups and downs. So when you're on a down, don't get so focused on that, afraid that you're down forever, but know that because of the law of rhythm, things will come up. And if you start looking forward to it, you're using your thoughts to change your vibration, to start attracting different things into your life, and you have control over that upswing. As long as you've set a goal, that upswing can take you up towards the goal. If you're not setting goals, it can either take you just nowhere or on your way down. So this one, law of gestation, this is the principle that's last on the list. Because after you get a handle on all these principles and you start using them in your life, the next question is, well, how long is this going to take? I have a goal in mind. I know what I want. I'm doing all this stuff and it hasn't happened yet. What's wrong? Okay, that's where the law of gestation comes into play, and that has several points. I call it gender gestation. Bob Proctor, who I learned a lot of these principles from, calls it the law of gender. Now, I'm not entirely sure why he calls it that, but I have my own interpretation. The law of gender being that when a seed is planted, or when something grows, there was a seed planter and a seed grower. Sometimes the same being handles both jobs. There's a male and a female to all living things. And in some species, one creature handles both jobs, which I think is fascinating. But if our ideas are stream seeds, and if the right environment for our ideas is our mind, then who's planting your seeds? Are you planting your own idea seeds, or are you allowing the wind to plant its own seeds? Now remember, this is the conscious mind, this is the subconscious mind. And an idea that comes into our consciousness, something that we think about, something that we're thinking, oh, okay, that, you know what? That would be really nice if I had this amount of money so that I could send my child to that summer camp that means so much to them. Okay, so that's an idea. In my consciousness, that's what I want. Now, in order for it to make its way to the subconscious mind, I need to feel emotional about it. I need to attach emotion to it. Now, some things, it seems kind of silly to be emotional about some things. How do you get emotional about $600? How do you get emotional about that? What does that mean to be emotional about $600? Get excited. Excited is a good emotion. What's another one?
You see what it'll do for you.
You see what it'll do for you. Where do you see it in your mind? And feel what for it? Gratitude is one of the most powerful, powerful, powerful emotions. And you can be grateful for something before it's happened as you're daydreaming. So if I want $600 to send my son to the summer camp and I need it and I don't have it yet, then I can spend time seeing the look on his face when I pick him up from the airport after he's done. That'd put a smile on my face to see him coming off the plane. I can picture those things. I can picture the results. I can, you know, I might have a pile of $600 and I can look at that in my mind and that's not going to turn me on. What turns me on is what it'll do, right? And really, that's all that money is for. Money is a tool for us to accomplish the things that do matter, right? Because does it mean anything to have a pile of $600 here on the chair? Money is only of value when it's in circulation. Money is only of value when it's in circulation. I had a friend who had, I think it was her father, grew up in the Depression, and when he passed on, they went through his home and found a fortune under his mattress. He had it. He had the money, but it didn't do anyone any good. It didn't grow. The value actually decreased all those years that it was in the mattress. So money is only valuable when it's in circulation. And so that's one principle I'm going to just throw in there, is that when you have what you need, don't hold it so tightly that you feel fear for losing it, because it will evaporate anyway. Let it flow. Let it flow and make room for more. The Sea of Galilee gets the water from the River Jordan, and then it lets it on through to the Dead Sea. Now, I like to look at this as two ways that we can be as people. The Sea of Galilee is a place of industry. The water flows through it, and because the water is fresh enough, it has, what's the word, the green on the side of the... Just... Plants. There's my big brain chemistry today, huh? So it has a lot of plants, a lot of foliage, a lot of crops, vegetation. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. Vegetation. And fish can live there, and so it's fishing industry and everything. And so then the water comes down through the Dead Sea, and it keeps everything it gets water-wise. And I think of this as like two people. You can either be a person who lets things flow through you, look at what you have at your house that you love, but it's not being used. Could somebody use it? And I'm not, I didn't mean to look at you at that moment.
Right.
She has a beautiful chandelier. No. Oh, boy, now I'm embarrassed. I wasn't even thinking that when I was saying this, I promise. You know, yeah, your actions are determined by your subconscious, that's for sure, unless you're thinking, and I guess I wasn't thinking. So, anyway, so you let it flow. Exactly, Jacqueline's using her house for this. Even when she's not in town, her door's open, and we use it anyway. That's just amazing. Amazing, and it's a wonderful, wonderful way to use what you've been blessed with. I thank you for it. So, you know, and I'll do this when I'm looking through, oh my goodness, I have so many children's clothes. seven kids, there's just clothes everywhere, and it's a constant thing to keep up on what fits and what doesn't fit. And so it's always flowing. And I remember I used to keep their clothes in bags in the attic, or we didn't have an attic, in the shed or in the garage, so that when the next child came along, we could pull them out and let that child use them. Well, how often did I pull it out in time? You know, I'd pull it out and it was already a year too late for somebody. And I realized these good clothes are like that money under the mattress. Someone could be using them. Someone could be gaining the benefit for which they were created. And so I don't keep clothes anymore for the next child. And I tell you, the more I get rid of, the more someone brings me a bag of clothes from their children, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I just got rid of all these clothes, and here's another pile. And so it's just a constant flow, and the more we give, the more we receive. We can't keep up with it. Now, it's interesting, when I was hanging on to him so tightly, nobody was knocking on my door with bags of clothes. And maybe there's something to it, maybe not, but there's a principle there. When you hang on to what you have for fear of losing it, that's being like the Dead Sea, where you're going to receive and hanging on to it. The Dead Sea still loses water. How does it lose the water? Evaporation. And what's left behind? Salt, minerals. And so as a result, what can grow in the Dead Sea? What's it called? It's the Dead Sea. There's nothing there. And it's bitter, and it's just a bad place. The fish don't survive. There's no vegetation. And so think of yourself as, okay, what am I... Oh, my goodness, I'm teaching next week's lesson. Okay, we're going to shift back.
We didn't know that.
Okay. I'll delete that part. Who is planting your seeds for you? What kind of media are you allowing to plant seeds in your mind? Because remember, whatever comes in, if we're not thinking... Do you remember what thinking is? Thinking is doing this, or it's consciously choosing to keep a thought and nourish it. But thinking is to create your own thoughts, to create your own ideas of what it is you want and where you want to go. So that's the first part. The second part is that every seed has an incubation period. That's a natural law. That is a natural law. A farmer knows just how long to wait before he pulls up the carrots. Because every year it's the same. A carrot takes a certain amount of time. Plant a seed. And know that that seed is going to do something on its own without you micromanaging it. You know, and that's sometimes when I have you close your eyes and think about what it is you want and feel it as though it's really there, I'm watching the group to see who has the smile come over their face. You know, when you feel that, you can know that for that moment you have planted a seed. You've really planted a seed in the right environment for growth. So looking at your checkbook, you're planting a seed. That's either a seed you're going to nourish, like your balance, if it's in the red. You're going to nourish that seed by being upset and angry and feeling frustrated. Or you're going to look at it, don't add the emotion, and choose a different thought. Oh, you know, I look forward to when this is six digits in the black. They say in the morning, no matter how you're feeling, you just yell, I'm excited, I'm excited, I'm excited. Get your blood pumping. Yeah. They're a bit, mom's awake again. Yeah. No, I've heard my son and my husband do this because they've been to the seminar, and it's when they're not feeling that way that they do it, and that really helps get the blood pumping, and it can change those emotions. And if you're changing your emotion, what are you also changing? Your vibration, yeah. Yeah, and that's what this is all about, isn't it? This is exactly what it's all about. You're trying to achieve certain goals. You're trying to change your life. You're trying to make something different. And so long as you remain in the vibration you're in, nothing's going to change because the outer conditions of a person's life will always be harmoniously related to their inner state. And that's where your vibration is. So on the incubation, it takes a human 40 weeks to mature, from seed planting to fruition. An elephant is 52 weeks. A mouse is 2 weeks. Now, think about this. Think about this. If a farmer is going to go out and he's planted strawberries and he wants strawberries so badly, he can taste them. He's just so excited. He goes out there and he looks at his crop and they're green. Green strawberries? I thought I planted red strawberries. I wanted red strawberries. Now, green strawberries, stupid strawberries. I hate that strawberries are green. That's ridiculous, isn't it? For him to fuss and fume over green strawberries, because what's wrong? They're just not done. They're just not done yet. They're just not done yet. And so the same thing with our goals. Every idea is a dream seed, and once you've planted the seed, as long as you don't pull it out, it's growing. Things are still happening. Things are still working. The process just isn't complete. How much time do I spend growing that seed? Well, I'm going to go in there with a microscope, and I'm going to look for, okay, it needs a leaf particle. Let's see, where am I going to find a leaf particle? And I'm digging through the dirt, and I'm finding, oh, there it is, and I'm going to bring it over to the seed so it can have it and grow itself. We micromanage our goals. We really do. And when we don't see the results we expect, we get frustrated, just like the farmer who sees his green strawberries. So if you've planted the seed, just about the only thing that will kill it is pulling it out, not letting it grow. How do you pull an idea out? How do you reject a seed? Negative thought with the emotion. This will never work. It won't happen for me. It's too good to be true. You know, imagine yourself in a box, and you want to get out of the box, and you want some sunshine, and the sun is going to come and go every 24 hours. And if you come out of your box at midnight or noon, it doesn't matter. The sun will shine on you eventually, and that just goes to show that the gestation period for your idea may not be the same as the next person. Things come in cycles. We talked about the law of rhythm. The universe has rhythm. Things are cyclical. There's a time and a season for everything, including the sun coming and going every day. When you decide to take action, when you decide to start on this path towards the goal that you want, the distance it takes for you to go from one end to the other is not going to be the same as every other person. It all depends on when you get started. So when it doesn't show up when you think it should, it took your neighbor 2 hours to get the success they wanted, and it took you 23 hours. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Understanding the law of gestation, everything has an appointed time. Things come in waves. The economy is like that, but does that mean that what you seek will come in its appointed time regardless of your behavior? You know, not necessarily. All that you need is already all around you, so while you wait for it, you must be preparing yourself. Prepare yourself to receive. You know, like I said before, by faith it comes, but by action you receive it. The sun comes and goes every 24 hours. If you're in a dark box and you want some sunlight, then you know that it already exists and it will come to you. But if you don't get out, or if you don't open the lid, then when it comes, you'll not be able to receive it. You know, perhaps the length of time you must wait depends on when you finally take affirmative action yourself. If you come out of your box at midnight or noon, it won't matter. It won't matter. The sun will shine on you in time. Now remember, all that we need is already in the universe all around us. By applying these principles from the last 6 classes, we're opening the lid on the box and preparing ourselves to receive the blessing. The length of time we have to wait depends to some degree on what time of day, so to speak, we remove the lid. It may be a little different for everyone, but it will come, just as we can depend on a sunrise. We're putting ourselves in the right vibration to receive what we want. Now, the gestation period for our idea is set, and it is finite. If we do our part, the reward will come quicker because we're preparing ourselves for the very next sunrise. However, our ideas will never come faster than the period of time they take to mature. You know, think about someone who's going to have a baby. The doctor gives you a due date, but is that exactly when the baby's supposed to show up? No, it's a guess. It's a best estimate based on the gestation period of a human seed. Now, if the baby doesn't show up on the due date, does that mean she's not pregnant? Does that mean the baby's not going to come? No, of course not. In fact, if she has to wait an extra day, or an extra week, or however long, the longer she waits, the more certain she is that this is just about over, isn't she? She doesn't get less excited the next day. She gets more excited, more. And you know what? She's going to spend her time preparing. If she's got an extra day, she's going to clean the room a little better. She's going to organize the pantry a little bit more. She's going to make sure that the diapers are lined up just so she has time to nest, and that's what she's going to do with that extra time, or she's going to be walking to try to get it going. But, you know, the longer it takes, then you can look at it as the more time I have to prepare, make things the way I want them to be. So when you set a date for your goal, it's nothing more than a best guess. It's really nothing more than a best guess. You think about, you know, how long you think this seed takes to mature, and you set a date. And the date is more for you to stay on track than anything, I believe, because you may or may not hit on that date, but if it doesn't come on that date, you don't throw out the baby. You don't throw out the seed. You don't say, oh, I guess it's not going to come. You just keep preparing. You say, well, I guess I didn't guess quite right, and you keep preparing. You know, you think big. Create a new idea for your life that is so big it scares you. You know, it's been said so many times, I don't know who said it first, make no small plans, for they have not the power to stir men's souls. And think about it. A big plan, if it stirs your soul, then that's a movement to the subconscious mind, you know. And the beautiful thing is that it doesn't take twice as long to accomplish twice as much. If a woman is pregnant with twins, she doesn't have to wait 18 months to have two babies. She doesn't have to wait 18 months to have two babies. In fact, she'll probably deliver a month sooner than a mother carrying just one child. You know, another point about this lesson, too, is that you don't want to limit your results by deciding how long something should take. Just be at peace knowing it's coming. Just be at peace. It's on its way. In fact, if you set a goal and it doesn't happen on that date, you should be excited. You should get excited because, you know, realistically, what didn't show up, and I'll tell you, looking back, the times when I did not achieve a goal when I thought I wanted it, I am so grateful that it didn't happen the way I thought I wanted it to happen, because in the long run, it turned out to be much better for the weight. It turned out to be better. So that's, you know, that separates people. When you don't hit a goal on the date you've set, you can do one of two things. You have a choice. You can either say, oh man, this doesn't work. This is so frustrating. Nothing's manifesting in my life. I can't seem to get this thing to work for me. I don't understand this law of attraction business, you know. Or, and honestly, that's what most people do. Or you can choose, when it doesn't happen on that date, to be grateful. Say, you know what? I am so glad it didn't happen on the date I set. Because that just means it's not done baking. That just means that when it does show up, it's going to be better than I thought it could be. It's going to be better than ever. I think about when we moved to our last house. We had everything figured out, everything lined up. This law of attraction thing was working in our favor, and I was feeling pretty cocky. And the day came, or the weekend came, that we were supposed to move in, and it was waiting on the closing of two other homes, two other properties that we had sold, or that we were trying to sell, that were under contract. And all we really needed, we only needed one to actually close on the next home. We only had to close on one of the two homes in order to move in, but I wanted to close on both because I wanted to put that money into the house and not have as big of a house payment as we would have if we only closed with one home sold. So that was my objective. And we had all of our stuff in a U-Haul truck. I was living in my in-law's basement with the kids, and it was tight. All of our stuff was outside in the U-Haul truck. And each day I just kept expecting at least one of the homes was going to close so that we could move into the next house. But as it turned out, it wouldn't close. Neither one of the homes we were trying to sell would close. Day in and day out, we kept hearing, maybe tomorrow, maybe tomorrow, maybe tomorrow, maybe tomorrow. And how long would you be able to put up with that? When you're expecting to go in the next day, you roll into town, you expect to move in the next day, and you keep hearing, maybe tomorrow, maybe tomorrow, maybe tomorrow. This went on for 3-4 days, 5 days, 6 days, 14 days, 20 days. It just kept going on. And it got to the point where I wasn't feeling very cocky anymore. I was feeling like, I don't even know what I'm talking about. I don't know if this stuff works. I don't know if the, you know what? I was not handling it well. Finally, you know what happened? I decided, and this was a dream home we were moving into. Finally, I got to the place where I thought, you know what? Put me in a trailer home. I don't care. I don't even care where I live. It doesn't matter. I just want to settle down. I just want to put my life back together and start living our life again. And I don't care if it's in a trailer home. Just let me be in my own place. And I stopped fighting it. And I started accepting whatever. I was out of the resistance mode and into the accepting mode. And I was okay with it. And at that point, one of the homes finally sold. And because we'd been stretched so far, in my mind it was an eternity, because we'd been stretched that far, I didn't care so much about closing on both homes anymore. I just wanted to move on, move into the house and get started with our life. And looking back now, I am so grateful because we moved into the home, and by the time the second home sold, it was too late to put it in on the purchase of our home. It was too late. But there was something else that money was meant for. If we had moved in right away, using all of the money to get into the house, we wouldn't have had what we needed to do the other thing that ended up being so important. It was actually what we needed in order to get Jackrabbit published. And Jackrabbit needed to be published. It needed to happen. And we had the money to do it. Because of this horrible, 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 horrible time that I had, this horrible test of patience. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful. So when you come to a point where things don't happen the way you want them to, when you think they should, I can't think of a time looking back when things didn't turn out for the better for having needed to wait. You know, and so using inductive reasoning, when things don't go the way you want them to, when you think they should, be grateful. Be grateful, and you pass the test. Be grateful, and keep anticipating, and keep looking forward to it, and keep looking for how it's going to be better for having waited. And that's the law of gestation. It's the lesson of patience. It's to teach us patience. And to teach us that just because the strawberries aren't red yet doesn't mean they're not strawberries. They just need time. And some of the goals that you set, you know, some of my loftiest goals where I thought I could get this done in 3 months, I didn't know that what needed to happen was going to take 3 years. I didn't know that when I set the goal. But after 3 months, did I give up? No. No, and you don't give up. You set goals that you are committed to no matter what. You're committed to it no matter how long it takes. If it takes you to the end of your days, you should be striving for goals that you're willing to commit to even if it takes a lifetime. Are your goals that powerful? Are they that important? Are they that meaningful? Are they the kind of goals that you would trade your life for? Now, you know, when we set a goal for a nicer home, it wasn't to have the home. You know what it was for? It was for the family life that we expected to develop and to build in that home. I pictured the kind of activities that we would be doing with our kids, the kind of relationships we'd build, the kind of gatherings that we could create to build strong families. That's the purpose. For us, every goal that we've set, every objective we've put to paper has had a long-term purpose for a stronger family. That's been our driving purpose in everything that we do. And so, you know, sometimes the goals and the intermediate goals, sometimes those can be frustrating, but it's always the biggest one. It's the big one on the long term that drives and dictates those smaller ones. And when they don't show up on time, it doesn't matter. They're still growing. They're still growing. It causes me to reflect on what kind of goals I set. Are they superficial goals? Are they goals to impress someone? Is it you want to do something so you can impress someone? Well, you know how long that's going to last? Set goals that have long-lasting meaning. And along the way, as you need money to accomplish those things, yeah, you've got a smaller goal to earn some money. Nothing wrong with that because you know where your long-term perspective is. You've written your eulogy. You know what your whole life is all about, and everything you do is to that end. So be patient. Nobody ever achieved anything great without being tested. So, you know, people that talk about the law of attraction, it doesn't work. Ever since I've been learning about it, nothing but bad's been coming. Well, it's a test. It's a test. And in 10 years, you're going to look back and either say, I'm so glad I was patient and persisted. Or in 10 years, you may be looking back and say, you know, I remember someone talking to me about the law of attraction, and it didn't really work. But, you know, you're going to have peers that stuck with it. You're going to have friends that stuck with it and persisted until they figured it out and they felt it click. And then after they felt it click once, they just applied the same principles to everything they try to achieve. And they are successful.